Do you want to hear this Dwayne Casey?
Yes, I want to hear the montage.
Well, based on, you know, the history of him on the show and how you guys always goof on me and goof on him because he and I kind of always had a bit of a connection, right?
He loved you.
I think over time, the whole show, like even you guys, started feeling the love a little bit.
We never talked to the guy. You just stole the show every time.
I think last time.
Let's hear this thing.
He loved me.
I will remember you.
Hey, B, how you doing, buddy?
Will you remember me?
Well, B, one thing that I said before the game.
Let your life pass you by.
Hey, B, how you guys doing?
Keep not
How's it going, Dwayne?
Doing fine, Brian. How you doing, buddy?
We're doing well. I'm doing very good.
And I was pretty, you know, pretty adamant about it after the game was over with Brian. But so we want to make sure we stay sharp, Brian. That's a good point, Brian. And one thing that has allowed that, Brian, is, well, one thing with OG, Brian, is, you know, I always said this, Brian.
As always, we really appreciate you doing this.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Noodles.
You bet. Probably got some really cool tracksuits at the All-Star. Like, really cool.
Jamie,
one.
I tell you what, boy. I have not forgot you, and I won't forget your tracksuit.
If you guys win a title this year, I expect karaoke at the parade, and I want you to pump out multiple tunes, okay, Dwayne?
If we do that, I'll get on top of the CN Tower and sing any song you want me to sing, I'll tell you that.
All right, we're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you,
appreciate
Brian.
It.
Okay, buddy. Okay, talk to you later.
It's getting stuffy in here.
Yeah.
That's an emotional sir. Audio.
Cutting onions here.
I thought he called you Hazy B, didn't he?
I think he may have at some point called me Hazy and then B. Like, it was kind of like a Hazy, I'll tell you what, B. But there were a lot of Brians and Bs and Hazys and Hazy Bs, and he called you Jamie, even though it was Jeff. And
you got it, Noodles.
Shout out to Noodles and the tracksuits and...
Yeah, the tracksuits.
Tough day for the show, because Dwayne Casey's always been a friend of the show.
Yeah, one of our favorites.
Yeah, so...
The business of the game, I get it.
Hopefully we can get him on the show at some point. I mean, we'll track him down and watch him come in, and he'll totally forget our names. And
yeah, what if it was just a sham?
Immediately, it's
no
a sham.
No idea.
I got to be honest, I have no idea who you guys are.
I had a guy holding up a piece of paper with your names on it. That's the only reason I said anything.
Exactly. All right, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What would happen if Ray just said he's never coming on the show again? Do you think we'd do like a montage for him?
Absolutely. We would start with like Toilet Seat Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then a couple
me
of
me owning him on the Kessel versus Crosby years ago.
Him absolutely abusing you on that, the right. Kessel Crosby conversation.
What do you think your biggest moments would be on this show, Ray?
When I hang up.
You've had enough already, huh?
No, honestly, do you think Coach Casey has any idea, Brian, who you are?
No, not really.
He's
well, yeah,
a piece of paper.
Kind of. I mean, he's been
I understand
in studio
he's a nice man. I hear he's a really nice guy. Everybody that's tweeting about their interaction with him is talking about how nice he is. But you know, he would know O, or he would know Noodles. I mean, but you're just like, you know, I don't know. The guy.
You'd be
guy
surprised,
there,
Ray. You'd be
left.
Surprised. Well, he actually calls O.
Really?
He calls O Jamie, so he doesn't know who O is. He has no idea who O is.
I think it's awesome.
That's okay, too, though.
Right, exactly.
What the heck, right?
Yeah.
Hey, how about MLSE pulling this whole gig today?
Brilliant, yeah. Isn't it?
Fire the coach, hire the GM.
Well... Here's another thing.
One slides into the other.
I don't know if you're even aware of this, but the Blue Jays slid in Marcus Stroman on the DL today, too. And I think that was calculated as well, 100%.
Like, it's amazing how now, you know, what could be or would have been the biggest story is shuttled to third place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, you know, a coach of the year is fired, and... I'm assuming that's in second place.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because they've named the general manager.
Tower over everything. When they have big news, you know, everyone under the umbrella, they get to benefit from that. That's Toronto.
And I don't know, even though there wasn't a surprise, right? Like, you know, it seemed like this is going this way for a week or 10 days, and for whatever reason it took the time it did, and they came to the conclusion in hiring Kyle Dubas that I think mostly everybody felt they were kind of leaning towards.
Ray, as far as Dubas...
And even then, it's the biggest story.
Yeah.
Ray, as far as Dubas, he's like an unbelievable guy. He's very polished. He's very nice. Is the one thing that you'd look for going forward, to be a GM in this market, you kind of got to have a little bit of, you know, if something needs to happen and you're like, screw this guy, I need this guy out of the picture immediately, it's not exactly the nicest thing to do.
You mean like that he's going to have to make some hard decisions?
Yeah, like just sometimes, you know, GMs, they'll just say, you know what, I'm done with this guy, I need him gone from the situation.
See, I think it would be hard in almost any circumstance the first time or two that something like that happens, and then you become more accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. But if he's, I'm sure the first time a manager had to trade a player that he really liked, I'm sure it was really hard. And then the next time, he just got to trade the guy. You know, I got to make my team better. And I think it'll be the same for Kyle. I mean, it's remarkable at his age that he's going to be making, he's going to be at the front of the franchise, or aside Shanahan, I guess. This, the general manager spot seems to be something so different than it was even just a few years ago. Because now most management teams have way more people involved, way more people do smaller portions of the job, and the manager's not the be-all, end-all that they used to be. I mean, that's the way I'm thinking of the general manager spot now.
I know.
Well, yeah, I think the role of Shanahan, like you look at the Raptors as a comparison, like Masai Ujiri is not technically the GM anymore. He hired Bobby Webster to do that, and Webster's like 31, 32, kind of like Dubas, but when anything big happens, everyone goes to Masai. Now, in Toronto, Shanahan didn't play that role publicly. Like, big news would happen, Shanahan didn't come out. He would send Lou out. So I still would expect that Dubas will be the one that will be doing the press conferences and doing the radio interviews, but trying to get a read on how involved Shanahan is day in, day out is kind of impossible because nothing leaks and he rarely speaks publicly.
You know, I can't believe for a second he doesn't, he's not involved in every facet of what goes on, but you can't, I don't think they've hired Kyle Dubas to be a front man so Shanahan can run things from behind. Like that, I don't even think of it that way. I think they like him. They think he's smart. They think he's got some great ideas, and they've got a really great base, and it's going to be really interesting this summer because he doesn't get to ease into the job. Like, look at that summer. We've already talked about what they have in front of them, and in a way, I almost feel bad for him because every decision is going to be so highly scrutinized, not just whether it's the right or the wrong decision, but whether it's the analytically the right decision or the eye test right decision. Hell, he didn't ask for this. He's just the guy that got hired. And there's going to be a scrutiny to him on every decision that will be different, I think, than most people or someone else that they might have hired. I think it's going to be very different, at least initially, until people can get a read on what his roadmap is going to look like.
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing to point out. Like, ageism exists both ways. Like, when Lou came here, there was ageism. How are you bringing a 73-year-old into a new market like this? Right. What's he going to do? And now it's the opposite end. How are you bringing a 32-year-old or 33-year-old who's never had any experience into this kind of market? And, the older school media, they've already been leaking out, well, Hunter would have been the guy. A lot of people in the hockey community think Hunter should have been the guy. Of course, because Hunter's been in the hockey community for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, of course he's going to have that kind of support. So,
well, I'm also interested who they'll hire. I assume they're going to hire another guy into the front office.
Yeah.
You would think, mm-hmm. And so I'm curious to see who that is. Like, is it a ex general manager? Is it somebody that's newer that we don't know about? You know, it seems to me that it would be somebody with at least a little bit of experience in the big chair, but maybe it won't be. I mean, everything seems a little bit different, right? The way they look at things seem a little bit different, than the way managements would, as I said, 5 years ago. It's a really interesting time. I don't have a strong opinion either way that, oh, it's the right thing or the wrong thing, but I think it's the logical next step for the way that the organization was set up more than a few years ago. That once Shanahan got in here, they were transitioning into something newer and different. And it, you know, it seemed like there were, you know, three or four general managers that, or assistant general managers that all had little chunks of the pie to look after. And that made the general manager. Yeah, Lou was at the very top, but everybody else was running little parts of it. Now Lou's gone, and those parts get bigger, and it will never be like it was under Lou. It's just the next evolution of what the manager's job is going to be in a gigantic organization.
You can't see Mark Hunter sticking around after not getting the position, can you, Ray?
I can't. He may be the, let's say he's the best scout ever. You know, I don't know. And they're going to pay him X number of dollars. But if he really wanted to be the general manager, and that's what Shanahan said, then this will always be gnawing at him. And so how could he be comfortable in that spot? He doesn't have to do the job to earn a living. He's already earning a living in London, where they own the junior team. And so if he's not satisfied, or if it kind of rubbed him the wrong way because, yeah, he wanted the job, it would be tough to stay. It would be tough to be, you know, the second place finisher, and the guy that you finished behind is now your boss. Like, that would be tough.
Right. And you never know what their relationship, I'm sure it was fine, but you don't know what the relationship was like. Kyle was in office or in our studio here half an hour ago, and he was talking about how his day-to-day duties early on were with the Marlies, and then he would check in with Lou later. And as their relationship grew, him and Lou were in contact almost all the time. So you could tell he gained a lot of trust from Lou. That's a different scenario now because he's in the big chair. How is his relationship with Mark Hunter? They may have had one, or they may have only had a one on the outside. To me, I wouldn't say it's concerning, but you've got a lot of moving parts now. And I think Kyle, as a general manager, it doesn't matter of his age, he has to develop his own style and implement exactly what he wants moving forward.
Well, that's why the start here is so critical, because you only get one chance to start. And so he's got I saw part of one of his interviews where he said, you know, they got a couple opportunities here in the next bit to get everybody together and establish what exactly they're trying to do, what roles everybody's going to have. And it seemed like it didn't seem like he was making it up as he was going along. Like, he's got a pretty good idea what he wants his next step to be. And I would be shocked if he didn't, because he just went through the interview process, whatever it was. He's also been working here for 3 years or so, and age is age, I guess. You know, I mean, we'll always wonder. He's 32 years old. Paul Maurice started coaching when he was 28, and everybody said that was way too young, and it was. And it took him a while to find his stride. But, you know, but Kyle started in the NHL when he was 28. But he wasn't a manager. He was an assistant. And he was doing all these other jobs around, and you gain a little bit of experience. And there's lots of 40-year-olds that aren't great at their managerial jobs, or 45-year-olds at GMs that we've seen car crash themselves with the franchise they had. He's going to get his crack, and it's going to be much earlier than most. And it's going to be incredibly interesting this summer, no matter who was going to be making those decisions. It's going to be really interesting in Toronto.
Well, and that's the truth. I mean, the next 2 months, this is where you make your bones as a GM. This is it.
We're going to be sitting here on this show saying, great job, or what was he thinking?
Yeah. What did he do at the draft? What did he do at free agency? When other deals are going down, were you in on that? Why were you not in on that? Why did you get... I mean, this is it, right? Like, the easier move would have been hire him September 15th, and he shows up for camp, and... Okay, we'll see at the trade deadline when you're first really on the clock. But he's
stepping in. You have no option for that. There's too much heavy lifting. He'd be done right away.
Well, of course. I mean, I'm sure he's happy that he gets to do it now because he wants to put his stamp on
this team. I just wonder if Lou's actually going to stay. Like, I wonder if he's...
I can't see that happening.
September 15th, I mean, Ray, what is your percentage that Lou Lamoriello is still with the Toronto Maple Leafs organization come September 15th?
4%.
There was talk when Lou got here, he was going up to people saying, what do? I do this. Well, you got to find something else to do because I do that. Well, so I can't imagine him sticking around.
Well, he was allowed to at that point. It's just, I mean, I don't
Now he's got
to
know who he is. Like, right. This is different for Lou. All of a sudden, Kyle can be like, actually, can you step outside, Lou? I'm having a conversation with somebody.
Yeah,
I would want to do that if I was Dubas. I would love that. Imagine you get to do that just once. Be like, just hey, once. Lou, take a lap, all right? Oh, and throw out the garbage while you're at it.
Stop it.
Why not?
If I became the boss of this show, I would walk in here. I'd be like, Hayes, shirt and tie every day.
Yeah, you'd have to. Just once. Just do it once. You don't have to do it every day. Anyway, who you got in the conference finals before we let you go?
Well, boy, I think Winnipeg is, I thought Winnipeg and Nashville were the best team, so I'll take Winnipeg because they're left. Mm-hmm. Although I picked against Vegas all year, right? I kept waiting for them to fall apart, and I don't know why. It just seems like Winnipeg's the best team. And no matter what Vegas has done, which has been just utterly amazing, I think Winnipeg is just a little better. Now, the only gives me pause is Fleury's playing as well as I've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
And Hellebuck's at his first crack at this. And that seems to matter. You know, Noodles could speak to that a little more, but I'm still going to take Winnipeg. On the other side, I'm going to take Tampa. And I just think they're too quick and they're too deep for Washington.
That'd be a great final, man. That's a coin flip, too. Tampa, Winnipeg, and the Cup final. Those are two really good teams. All right, buddy.
We were thinking about that today, actually, as we were sitting at breakfast, thinking about what the travel, because, of course, it's only about us, like what the travel would be like.
Yeah, you got to go Tampa.
To get from Winnipeg to Tampa.
Tampa, Toronto, or you can go Tampa, Chicago up to Winnipeg, I would think, or Tampa, Minneapolis.
Yeah, I know. We were discussing the different options.
Yeah, Tampa, Minneapolis,
although,
too.
I read today, I think it was WestJet, is adding flights from Winnipeg to Vegas. So they're going to be, if Winnipeg's in the Cup final, they'll
direct
add
flights.
Absolutely, they will.
Yeah, they would be smart to do that.
They should.
Although, I think, aren't there pilots on strike right
now? Well, yeah, WestJet's like, going on strike next Saturday.
You're
going
to add flights and you're going to have nobody to fly. I'm like, hey, Ray, you'll be flying a plane. Like, they got no pilots.
We got lots of planes here. There's just no one to fly them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly what this world needs, is more congestion at the airport.
Yeah, exactly.
Because WestJet pilots go on strike.
Oh, well.
Well, we'll see.
It's just as long as one sunny place gets in.
Yeah, it's true.
That's critical.
Yeah, I think you're good. Winnipeg in June is very nice.
I think it's Winnipeg, Washington. That's my call.
All right.
But
so would Overdrive be in Washington, or would Overdrive be in Winnipeg?
No.
I would ask to go.
I would love to go, but today's a perfect example. You know, people in Winnipeg are like, really, Leafs? Really?
Yeah.
Like, we just won the conference.
But
we're in the conference final.
It's 5:23. We've not talked once about the game last night.
Not once. Nobody cares about Winnipeg.
Well,
nobody cares.
I do, but I mean, there's bigger news in Toronto.
Yeah.
So
there's your answer. TFC will fire somebody, so we're going to have to be here.
We got to fly, buddy.
Like a bitter Bob.
I'm actually pretty happy today, but... Anyway, enjoy yourself.
Okay, well,
over
I'm going to fly too. It's midnight here. I'm going to
sit at the Dreger Cafe.
Go to the Dreger Cafe, and Hunt will call you in about an hour and a half.
No, we're going to try, and I think tonight is we'll get down near the Norwegians. They're an interesting crew.
Yeah, I've seen.
I don't
picks.
Even think they've noticed their team lost today.
No, they don't care. They really don't care. They're in it to win it and just have fun.
I will say the last 2.5 hours of broadcasting Korea and the United States
very exciting.
Oh, wow. It was difficult.
What a barn burner that would have been. Can't believe I missed it. How have we not been talking about that?
But Korea got the first goal. We're like, oh, good. Maybe it'll be close for a while. 13 straight.
13-1. Catch it on replay on TSN tonight.
Yeah, great.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
See ya.
Talk to you later.
That was our worst interview with Ray.
Of all time.
I think there's a time.
I was like, I got in and out at the wrong. I'm just like,
this, I was
there a delay,
too.
Though?
I don't know what was going on.
His
something.
Answers were late. It was just
weird.
I feel like he was just, on, like, Skype.
Is it, was, like, 4
you know
in the morning over there?
Trash something, Mulls, if we swear and it doesn't go. Just trash that whole
just
thing.
The whole thing.
Whole thing.
Press
drop it.
Delete from the podcast.
Get off that podcast. Yeah, I don't want that on.
The interview that didn't actually happen is brought to you by Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.com.